Turn to 1 John and chapter 2. The one who says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. That's not like a burden. You know, you can read that verse and say, oh boy, you mean to say I have to walk by the same way Jesus walked and by the standard he lived by? That's like, you know, somebody forcing you to eat something which you don't like, or forcing you to do what you don't like to do. It's the wrong way to look at that verse. You can look at it, wow, you mean I can walk as Jesus walked on this earth? Boy, what an exciting thing that is. You can look at it in two ways. And you can look at Scripture in two ways. As, you know, the commands were a burden. The Old Testament law was a burden. People tried to keep it and it was a burden, a burden, a burden. And Jesus said to such people, come to me, those who are burdened and heavy laden. How did they get burdened and heavy laden reading the Word of God? Because they took them all as commands and heavy weights that are put upon them. The Pharisees presented it like that. Jesus said, you Pharisees put heavy burdens on other people. And a lot of sermons are preached in such a way which are heavy burden on other people. You must pay your tithe and otherwise God will curse you. Or this thing, that thing, the other thing. Everything is a burden, a burden, a burden. And people struggle under that burden and some keep it and some are not able to keep it and they feel condemned. That's not the way in the new covenant. In the new covenant, it's a possibility that the Lord is showing us. You can walk as Jesus walked. It's a possibility. Lord, is it really true? Yes. I mean, you will not give a command to your child which he cannot obey. Which good father will tell his child to do something he knows the child cannot do? Climb that 20-foot wall. You think the child can do that? And sometimes in our mind, when we read Scripture, we unconsciously accuse God. We don't actually say it, but unconsciously we accuse God saying, no, it's not possible. Do everything without murmuring and complaining. Philippians 2, 14, 15. Oh, how can I do that? I thank God for that. I look at it as a wonderful possibility. And I look at it like that, it becomes fulfilled. I can honestly say it's become true in my life. I do everything without murmuring and complaining to the best of my knowledge. Thoughts come, temptation, I reject them. I'm not saying you won't be tempted. You'll be tempted to murmur and complain till the end of your life. I'm saying the possibility is you can overcome it 100%. But like we heard yesterday, you don't jump up to the top class. You've got to go first standard, second standard, third standard. You go slowly, 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 but you can come there. God never gives us a command in the New Testament which we cannot obey. That's why in the Old Testament the standard was so low. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't tell a lie. But when you go to court and you're swearing, then don't tell a lie. Because otherwise it's impossible to tell people don't tell lies. But in the New Testament the command is don't tell lies. Your yes must be yes, your no must be no. So all those things listed in Matthew chapter 5, why is it Jesus never gave that as a command in the Old Testament? Because they couldn't obey it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that God was a loving Father. Everything was a burden, a burden, a burden. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you think of God's commands as a burden, you are under the Old Covenant. Then you must come to Jesus, because he says, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden. Come to me, I'll give you rest. But we need to get revelation. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. What has God prepared for those who love Him? The possibility that we can walk every day of our life as Jesus walked. Isn't that the most wonderful thing that God has prepared for those who love Him? But God has revealed them to us by His Holy Spirit that we can be there and live like that. Matthew chapter 13, here's an amazing thing. There are some amazing things that Jesus said. The disciples came and asked Him in verse 10, Matthew 13 verse 10, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now today, you know, when we make an illustration, like I often use illustrations to illustrate some truth, and people always say, "Oh, Brother Zach, I could understand that better when you made that illustration. That became more clear, that truth, when you illustrated with an example." But see the answer Jesus gives. Why do you speak to them in parables? And I'll tell you, in a nutshell, His answer is so that people don't understand what I'm saying. You mean to say Jesus speaks in such a way that some people don't understand? That's right. Read here. "To you," He tells His disciples, "it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not granted." Why is it not granted? Is it because they were not clever? Those Pharisees were 10 times cleverer than Peter and James and John, who were fishermen. These fishermen didn't finish high school. Those fellows were college graduates, those Pharisees. But they could not understand. But these simple people could understand. "To you," because it is a gift. Because it is not something like science or mathematics, which if you are clever, you understand. If you are not so clever, you don't understand. See, the subjects in the world, understanding depends entirely on cleverness. That's why some people come first in every class in school. Their intelligence level is high. Maybe they inherit it from their parents. And the others whose intelligence level is low, and it's got nothing to do with believer or unbeliever. There are many believers whose intelligence level is low. There are unbelievers, atheists, whose intelligence level is very high. They do very well in the world. The cleverest people in the world are not believers. They are atheists and agnostics and unbelievers. But the mysteries of God's kingdom are not understood by the mind. It is to be granted. Them, it has not been granted. They can be very clever. They can read and read and read and read, and they will not understand. They hear the parable of Jesus and they won't understand. Why do you speak to them in parables? So that they don't understand. And then He says in verse 12, "Whoever has, to him more will be given." Now this is the opposite of communism. Communism says you take away from what they have and give it to the people who don't have. But Jesus said if you have, and the meaning is, if God has shown you some truth and you obey it, more will be given to you. If you have something and you obey it, it becomes your possession. That means you hear a word and you obey it, it becomes yours. People have asked me, "Brother Zach, can I preach your sermons?" I say, yes, if you obey it first. If you obey what you hear me preach from the word in your life faithfully, it becomes yours. Then you can speak it as your truth. You may have heard it from me first, but it has become your truth because you obeyed it. That's the meaning of him who has. So until you obey, it is not yours. You don't have it. You've heard it. So when it says, to him who has, the meaning is, what he has heard, it's become his possession. How did it become his possession? He obeyed it. And if you possess something like that, you heard it and you obeyed it, it becomes yours, then more will be given to you. And then you obey that, more will be given to you. So that is the way we grow in the understanding of the Lord and His Word. And you will never understand Scripture if you don't obey what is told you. To him who hears, does it, it becomes his. He has it. Then more will be given. Then he obeys it, it becomes his again. He has more. More will be given. He'll have an abundance. But him who does not have, that doesn't mean he doesn't hear. He hears, but he doesn't obey. So it doesn't become his. He doesn't have it. then even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. So I speak to them in parables, verse 13, so that while seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. Lord, and they don't understand. And you say, Lord, don't you want everybody to hear, understand clearly this wonderful truth you brought from heaven? No. The Lord says, I don't want everybody to understand what I'm saying. I want those who are humble to understand it. I want those who are poor in spirit. You know, the Amplified Bible translates Matthew 5:3, poor in spirit, as blessed are those who consider themselves insignificant. You know the meaning of consider yourself as insignificant? That means you sit among people and say, I'm the zero here. That fellow's 10, 5, 6, 3, 2, they're all, but I'm zero. That's the one who considers himself insignificant. That is poor in spirit. It says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit is the master key that will open every door in the kingdom of heaven. It will make you rich and possess everything. They will understand everything. They'll become their possession. So I speak to them in parables because they're not poor in spirit. They don't rate themselves as insignificant. They don't think they are zeros. Some of them think they are 100 or 50 or at least 25. But zero? No. Zero, that's those unlearned fishermen like Peter, James and John. They are the zeros. And when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? All those clever people said, maybe Jeremiah, maybe one of the prophets. And Peter said, no, you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter, because you did not understand that with your cleverness. You didn't finish high school. Those college graduates could not understand. How do you understand it? It was given to you by revelation from my Father in heaven. I praise God for that word. Revelation is a New Testament word. Understanding is an Old Testament word. You can read the Word of God and understand it. You may not have revelation. But when you get revelation, it will change your life.